Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
And welcome
to Nobody Panic
with her, Stevie.
And her, Tessa.
I didn't say your name mean.
It felt like you did.
With her, Stevie.
With her, Tessa.
Oh, great. Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
How are you doing?
I'm learning to prioritise myself.
Oh, and wow.
Also things.
Wow.
Which is ironically what this podcast is about.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Because like I got so many things on, but I've really understood and compartmentalised them. And now I'm just working through them.
Great. And that's what Tessa will be taking. And I'll be taking how to prioritise myself. So unfortunately, I can't do this podcast because I want to go and have a stew. Okay, bye.
Oh, yeah. We did actually have a row immediately prior to this.
It was a row, was it? I was just
with a frank... A quick, frank
exchange
discussion
of words.
About the stew.
Basically,
Stevie
no.
said, I'm going to have a stew now. And I said, no. So here we are.
We are in a lovely studio run by a company called Soap. And it's above a pub that do amazing food. It's 5:03. And I haven't had lunch. And they do a really great stew. And I was going to go and have a stew, but it doesn't make any sense because I don't have time to eat it, do this, and then go to what I'm doing afterwards.
No, so we're just cracking
Tessa
through.
Tessa was correct.
And then if we've got time, maybe we'll stew.
We might stew.
That's
it
the
later.
Promise, people. So like, rattle
you
on.
You won't hear it, but just know that when you finish listening to this, I'm eating a stew.
These two had a stew.
I don't even know if it sells stew.
No.
I think it's just a pizza place. I'm just going to ask them anyway.
We're above Pizza Express, everyone, and we're going to go ask for a stew.
What adult thing have you done this week?
Oh, mine is that I'm wearing this quite smart coat from recently gone into liquidation ASOS.
Oh, they haven't gone into...
No, they haven't. They
just think of the share drop when
They've just been in the news, haven't they, about them having a bit of a, you know...
They had a hard Christmas, but
they had a hard Christmas, but I hope they're all right.
Had a hard Christmas. I don't think it was them. I think it was just like, no, but I love...
It's Theresa May.
I love how everyone said that. Like, 13-year-old is going, I'm not going to buy these, I don't know what 13-year-olds buy, high-waisted biker shorts.
Yeah.
I've gone for that. I'm not going to buy those until we've either had a hard and soft Brexit. No one's thinking that.
I think it's just a more sort of in the air, isn't it? Like, I think a lot of people are having a sort of, we're not having any presents for Christmas, not in a like, oh, Tiny Tim way, but in a like, it feels very decadent and sort of
best
pointless.
Best not buy those biker shorts.
Like, let's not, we don't have to go crazy this year. It felt like that.
It would have been the opposite because people would be like binge shop when they're like just
everything's
to cheer
gone to shit.
Up.
But I think the shops equally were not pushing their big like this is the toy and this is the stuff and this is the book. Like there wasn't that same.
That is also possibly because we're older and we don't know what any of the toys are.
It's possibly that. Yeah,
we're
like
that
there was no big toy this year.
Still talking about Christmas so long after Christmas, but don't worry, we're never going to mention it again because I know we went really hard in December and. I'm so sad it's over. We thought, last week we did about New Year's resolutions, Tessa came up with a great idea of doing how to prioritise, which I think is a really good one.
Mm.
I think that is something that if you're not good at, you feel it. Ooh, you feel it in your bones.
Yes. I think especially if you are whatever that creative type A person is.
Oh, I don't know.
I've made this up, so get on board or not. It's the sort of person who's is what both of us are. Too many things, not a good logical mathematical mind.
Speak for yourself.
Okay.
Give me a mental arithmetic thing.
7 times 8.
56?
Yeah, that is right.
That is correct. Okay, great. I think I've proven that I've got quite a mathematical brain now.
Fantastic.
But I know that, Tessa, you don't, so that's fine. I don't at all. Okay. And when I asked Tessa to do the sum, my eyes went so wide, they nearly rolled out of my head. So stressful.
Yes, sometimes you have like just too many things and you aren't good at like putting them in order, and also you when you're doing something you're like basically you're that book if you give a moose a muffin and a moose comes into your house asking for a muffin.
Okay.
It's quite a sweet book.
Right, no, I'm into and it. And wasn't expecting you to say that.
So if you give a moose a muffin, he'll ask if he can have some jam on it. Once he sees the jam has run out.
Oh, it's one of those savoury muffins, not one of the American muffins.
No, it's an American muffin. He wants jam on that.
Jam on a chocolate muffin?
What is he thinking?
He's a moose.
Quite right. And we've hit the nub. He's a moose. When he sees there's no jam, mm-hmm. he'll want to make some. But when you go and pick blackberries, he'll get a stain on his shirt and he'll want to
he's
wash.
Wearing clothes.
And he'll. Oh, yes, sorry. He's wearing clothes. So he wants to wash his shirt.
Yes.
When you put the shirt in the wash, he'll realise there's no button. He's missing a button. When he tries to sew the button on, he'll think how fun it is making sock puppets. Because then you were sewing a button.
Yes.
And he'll want to put buttons on socks. When he's made the puppets, he'll want to put on a show. When he...
You've got to get a producer when in. You've got to get, got to hire a venue.
And now the moose has to hire a venue. So it's that thing of like, you're doing one thing and then you're distracted and you're like, oh, I should do this.
I genuinely did not see the connection between anything. I was like, what a lovely story.
Yeah, but you're constantly... What's going on? You're constant, and it's a positive thing.
It's never like, just one thing. That never one thing just grows one thing. Into million
always grows
things.
Into things. You're one of those people in meetings, you're about there, a meeting about something else, and everyone's like, we should get a cat. And then the next thing, we're like, it's this like, we're excited by the initial thing of ideas. We're not very good at seeing them through. And then we put all the ideas on this big smorgasbord, and then you'll get totally overwhelmed by your smorgasbord.
Absolutely. Also, even if you're quite a practical person, when you do a things to do list, the first thing, suddenly it'll just go into another thing, and then you've done loads of stuff that has grown from that first thing on the list. You haven't done 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
You hit number one, and then
and
you went
now
1, 8,
show.
And now you're running
a moose theatre.
So you did 1, A, B, C, D, and E.
Oh yeah.
Instead of returning to 2.
Yes.
You didn't. You
and being
know.
Like, all of those added things can go on another things to do list for tomorrow. For example, I don't know how to prioritise things. That's why maybe I haven't got that right. So Tess is looking at that, and I'm going to look at not how to know it's okay to prioritise yourself, but when to know. When to prioritise yourself.
Yes.
And how to do that. But I've tried to find some really practical tips about how to prioritise yourself that isn't like, when you wake up, recite the mantra, I am strong, I am powerful, I am a queen, before you have your breakfast. It's like, cool, no one be doing that. I don't even think Beyonce does that. I mean, she just sort of does it in her life and her songs, sure. But like, no.
Maybe she does.
Maybe she does. I just don't believe anybody does that.
Two things,
day.
Stevie. One, I know for sure it's not a creative type A person, and everyone's going to complain when I describe personality types.
Yes.
And we'll do another episode sometime about personality types because I think they're fascinating.
That's true.
And number two, I didn't actually finish my adult thing.
Oh my God, I'm so
we
sorry.
Literally got distracted in the middle of what we were saying.
Right.
Mine was just, I bought this jacket from ASOS.
Oh my God, it's like that happened 7 years ago.
Right?
Bought sorry, this from ASOS, listening.
And it's just that it's nice. And that's it. I bought a new thing.
It is lovely. It's like a brown and it's got sort of like sheepskin.
I think it's like an aviator like Amelia Earhart would wear.
You do look like Amelia Earhart.
And I've been like, it's just nice to be, and when people say like, that's smart, I'm obviously not a very smart person. Mm. And it's just nice to be wearing something that's new.
Oh, it's lovely. Did I definitely ask you what your adult thing was?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. What is your adult thing?
So my one is an adult thing. It is an adult thing because it's like, I've spent years doing this and now I'm like, no. I want to do this now. I know myself. I don't have massive boobs, but I've got like, you know, larger sized boobs than small boobs, I'd imagine. A double D? That's quite large, isn't it?
Fine. Why not?
Why not? And I've always, always found bras annoying. And I don't care when anyone says, when you get fitted, that doesn't mean you can't feel the bra. You can still feel the bra. I've been fitted in many different places. All worryingly, they've given me different sizes slightly. I know you're going to say Rigby Impeller, but
yes,
I don't.
I'm already shaking my head over here, eyes shut.
It's bullshit. So I've gone to
I'm a champion of Rigby Impeller.
Yeah, the most expensive place in the whole world.
And you I'm go going, once a year, you buy one bra.
I need more than one bra.
You wear it for the next 10 years.
Well, again, I can see the flaw immediately in your system, and I prefer to have multiple bras that I can. The point being is,
honestly, it's
life
changing. It's life changing.
That, but then there's this thing about women getting from work. Oh, and then you take your bra off and it's a real relief mm-hmm. and it's lovely. I mean, I don't really go to the gym anymore, but when I used to, I wore sports bras, obviously, and they were always so comfortable. And I realised, hang on, sports bras, genuinely, I can't feel them, and I feel really, really comfortable, and just really, like, supported, and there's not all this, like, fancy lace that comes through. I'm like, oh, great, well, now you can see this patterning, and it's kind of ruining the... There's just no business going on there.
Right.
So then I was like, why do I keep not wearing sports bras in the day? Because I'm embarrassed. I'm supposed to be wearing some sort of matching Ruby Impella thing for 10 years, apparently. So then I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to do what I want to do. So I bought three... in three different colours, really the best sports bras that I've found, which are a Sweaty Betty Ultra Run bra. Obviously, I have like two normal bras with like one's got like a dip in it for like better dresses and the ones where I obviously can't wear a sports bra. I've just started wearing sports bras day to day, and now in the evening, I often forget that I'm even wearing it and I go to bed in it and I'm like, oh God, I've got to take my bra off. I'm going to own it rather than be like, I wish I was wearing a sports bra, but I can't because that's not what, you know, proper ladies do.
That feels like you've let a real burden go.
I have.
Well done, you.
Thank you.
Well done for earning that. What three colours did you get? Puce, grey,
and grass. No, I got black, blue. I got two blacks and a blue. Because I only
and
wear black clothes.
Another black.
Another
that
black.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. Well
Thank
done.
You, Thank
you really
so
took
much.
Ownership of that thing.
I have. And I have got one nice bra that's got a dip in it that's really nice. But
just a date for, you know, when you want to feel a bit fancy.
Well, I want to feel a bit fancy when I'm dressed
out.
Yeah.
And you know what you did there? You prioritised.
Myself.
You. Because otherwise it's just what you're doing when you say like, oh, I'll be embarrassed if I can't wear a sports bra. You're like, why the hell not? Like,
yeah.
Why would anyone else have any opinion on?
And if they do, I told somebody this the other day and they were like, what does your boyfriend think? And I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with it?
Yeah.
What the fuck cares about that? You need to not go out with the people that you're going out with if they're like, I'm so sorry, you can't wear sports bras anymore. It's like,
yeah.
Is that a deal breaker?
Nah. I heard somebody say something so interesting the other day, which was no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. I just thought, what a good...
It's so great.
Like, I remember what it was like to be when I was an intern and I basically didn't speak.
No, same,
week.
Yeah.
And I just made people tea, and anytime anyone asked me to do anything, I was like, oh, I'm absolutely shit. Like, and like, my memories of working in this office are just like heart palpitations from start to finish. Mm. And now I'm just so much more... confident in all of the things that I in every aspect. Basically, it's the understanding of your marker of what is and is not being made to feel inferior, like, just constantly shifts.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can set it much higher up.
It's not like you're there and everyone else is deciding how inferior you should feel today. And that's how it used to feel like when I was younger. It was like, well, I'm rubbish or whatever. And
yeah,
like,
it just felt like a fact.
Yeah.
Whereas really, you're like, oh, I can decide that.
Yeah.
And I can walk into this meeting room confidently and be...
Which leads us to prioritising.
Absolutely. And you're prioritising yourself and your sports bras.
I'm prioritising myself and my sports bras. But also, I think it's difficult to often know when to prioritise yourself because it's obviously caught up in this whole self-care thing,
mm-hmm.
which on the one hand is like really great. On the other hand, it's not just like, oh, I can't be a dick if it's self-care. Like, no, you can still be a dick. Like, and don't be a dick.
Yeah.
And so I was reading some stuff about it, and a clinical psychologist called Leon F. Seltzer, PhD, says the best way to kind of figure out whether you should prioritize yourself is rather than just like putting yourself first no matter what, it's about putting yourself first but considering what the consequences would be if you didn't give a particular want or need top priority. So say, you know, you have a friend and you keep cancelling on each other. She really needs your help. She's gone through quite a bad patch and you want to cancel again. And you're like, well, it's fine because we've both cancelled. But it's like, do make the effort to go because the consequences are that person might not have anyone to talk to. That mm-hmm. sort of thing. Whereas if it's just a friend and you're like, well, we've seen each other quite a lot, then you can prioritise yourself. That's fine. But it's just everything is on like a, what's it called, like a case by case basis. It's not just like blanket ban of like,
yes.
I will do whatever I want. And it's not also I will do whatever everyone else wants. Because when you go too far in either of those, well, on the one hand, you become like a narcissistic jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, it can really cause anxiety and depression if you're giving so much of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend who basically constantly gives too much of herself in the sense that she's always fun. She's always like on form. Then you suddenly realize like, oh, she has to stop at some point. And she says yes to everything. It's like, you need to actually start saying no. And mm-hmm. when now she says no to meeting him, I always feel good because I'm like, maybe she's like having a nice time in just being
yes.
herself for a little bit rather than giving herself away mm-hmm, to everybody mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs me. Not everyone needs you all the time.
You need you
just as much as they need you. Sidebar, eye-opening when I think it maybe was you. It sounds like something you would say where I was like really panicking about like not going to someone's party And you're like, no one's going to care if you're not there. And I was like, oh, you can fuck off. But also it was like, yeah, that's actually really liberating. Sending a little thing and being like, so sorry, I can't come. If that person is not going to mind that much that you're not there and really think about it, then you're fine to prioritise yourself. If it's your best friend and she said, please, can you come at 8 on the dot so that I've got people there? I think the language there is implying you should be going to do that and you should be prioritising other people.
Yes, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because it's something you get like to hold off for as a kid, like only thinking about yourself, or you know, you get told off for something and you say like, I'm sorry, I didn't think, and someone says like, exactly, you never think, and you're like, oh,
that's a real
oh no. And it's this, you know, the world doesn't revolve around you, and why are you the only one not helping, and all of this stuff. It's very like wrapped up in how you were spoken to as a child, because we're so clear on children, like sharing, helping, like those are the things that we focus on. And also prioritizing yourself sounds so selfish and, you know, very sort of new age, and in a world where we sort of, well, maybe it's a generational thing, but like we're still very much in this, here are our parents, working down a mine is the greatest of all the thing, and like that's what true work is, and you know, tilling the fields.
We already feel guilty because of all that stuff about like, you can't buy a house because of you buy all these avocados and all that stuff. And you're like, is a thing that obviously you can go like, fuck off, but I think subtly and subconsciously younger people do feel guilty because we don't seem to be getting the stuff that we should be doing. It's like, oh, hang on, is it because I'm prioritizing myself?
Right? And it's this insane, like, Chekhov, you know, view of the world. Of right, bold, isn't it?
Can she follow through?
Can she follow through? You know, sort of, he wrote this, like, you know, brutal, bleak stuff about, like, work, and, like, work will set us free, like, you know, or the orchard, give everything that we are to this, like, till the land. And that's the idea of, like,
I don't know if he did, by the way. So if anyone listening is like, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. I have no idea. I just remember it's a lot about some quite bored, rich people, and then someone always shoots themselves at the end. It's possible I've just seen the same one over and over again. It's very bleak.
Jaja Vanya, and it's Uncle Vanya,
right? Yes.
Is the one where, well, I was going to say that where they run a cherry orchard, but that's probably the cherry orchard. Uncle Vanya, you know, everyone arrives and basically everyone's just complaining about who's inherited the farm,
right?
And at the end, no one's in love with each other or something, and she sort of the main girl sort of wanders off, just whispering like work.
Right, like, I have seen that.
It's this very sort of like, that bleak Soviet, like,
yes, you don't prioritize yourself ever.
No, it's all about the other.
Punished.
Exactly, it's all for the other people.
As everyone listening obviously knows.
Basically, like,
what a left field like analogy so from you.
Because I was just thinking how I feel about when our parents' generation or our older generation talk about like YouTubers, for example, making millions
so
in their bedroom, and it's like, well, that's not a real job. And he's like, no, of course it's not. It's just silly. But
so's acting.
So's anything. But like, if the person has made 18 million this year, if the goal of work, you know, whether that's tilling the orchard field,
growing, or unboxing the orchard's apples,
or unboxing the orchard's apples. You know, if they made more money than you, like,
do that.
You know, you doesn't have, and I think it comes down to this, like, exactly that communist thing of like,
it's the guilty. It's the guilt. Well, you've not worked enough to justify that amount of money. But YouTubers is like, I think I'm a couple of years too old to have really be caught up in the thing. And I think it's so easy to just be really disparaging about it. Anything that you do a small amount of work for, like, I do voiceovers quite a lot, and it's a small amount of work for more money than you would expect for 20 minutes worth of work. And I found it incredibly difficult to cope with that. That shouldn't have been the case. You should just be like, woo! I mean, also, I'm not earning millions here. I'm just saying, like, in comparison to doing, like, shift work at a magazine, you have to kind of, like, realise that that doesn't matter because it's still work. And if someone is willing to give you that, it's not your fault
that they happen to be paying you insane, like, too much
and
money.
It's
like,
just like, it's not our fault that we're never going to, that a lot of us aren't going to own houses, or that a lot of us are making money in kind of, like, slightly left-field ways in what the generation ahead feel like it is anyway.
And they have literally tried several times everybody is paid the same amount of money, we all wear one type of clothing, and everything is for the people.
All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others.
Exactly.
George Orwell.
We
what
are,
have we been doing what? This week? Where
2019, here we come. It's shifted into being a literary podcast.
It should
and
do.
And quite right, quite frankly. We're prioritising ourselves.
But we need to feel less guilt about the whole thing comes down to we feel guilty about putting ourselves first because there's this narrative that is like, yeah, but you can put yourself first, but only if you've spent 18-hour work days and you don't know who you are anymore.
And then you're allowed a small bath and a tiny snack. Yeah. Like, and like, that's it.
Really small.
Like, the brownie guide promise is literally and always put others before yourself.
Is it still that? Surely it's been updated.
I don't think so. Always thinking of others. And then it's that thing about the oxygen masks on the plane that's like, do your own oxygen mask before anyone else's.
Yes.
Like, you ultimately have to do you.
Yes.
Before you can help anyone
that's
else.
That's what they say. Like, you do you, babe.
You do you. Exits are here.
Oxygen masks.
You do you. When they pop down, you do you.
Babe, you just slay before all others. There was a small list, which I thought was quite useful, a little checklist of 6 times it's okay to prioritise yourself. So, number one, you're sick. Always prioritise yourself when you're sick. I know you, Tessa, will often turn up to do a podcast record. You look like hell. I think you should probably have stayed in bed. There's one time where you were really ill and chose that day to like go to Primark peak time and return some things. Mm. Like, don't be doing any of that. That is prioritising admin, but you need to prioritise yourself when you're ill. And I think some people often are like, you know, if you've got a cold or something, you've got the flu, you're like, well, that's not enough to be... No, it is enough. You need to get better. Mm-hmm. Don't feel guilty about being ill. And also, if you show up when you're sick, you're going to make everyone else sick.
So exactly.
Actually helpful. I mean, it says here, when you're hangry.
Well, may I just say about the sick thing?
Yeah, because I think that's rubbish. So we're going to drop it down to 5 times.
No, the sick...
that's not acceptable.
What, you don't like the hangry one?
I think if you're hangry, like, just, yeah, get some food, fine. But that's not really like a no to prioritise yourself. Yes, of course, go and get some food before you do something.
I think there's never a time when you're more clear about prioritising yourself than when you're hangry.
I mean, I did try and get some stew earlier. Didn't work out for me, but I was prioritising.
Yeah, you did
myself.
Try.
Yeah,
I stopped it dead.
Gave it a go.
You gave it a go.
I can't control.
But I think
else.
That's a good time when people are very clear, where they're like, sorry, I need to eat. I'm going to explode. Like,
that's good. Yes, okay, great.
I think that is a time when people are pretty...
It popped back up to 6 times.
People are pretty good about prioritising when
yes.
you hang.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Just on the sick thing, I think that's something that people are crazy about at work.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Being desperate to be sent home. They want somebody.
That's all I spend my time doing.
You just want someone to say, gosh, you should go home.
And because then immediately then, go, yeah, I should.
Yeah, then
yeah, should.
You're the victim. You weren't, you know, you didn't call in sick. You weren't, you know, you weren't the bad guy.
Call in sick. Absolutely call in sick. That is your body literally telling you to call in
sick.
It's
that quality over quantity thing. Like, you can show up and be shit at your job for 10 days until this passes, or you can lose one day getting better at home.
If you're hangry, consider prioritizing yourself immediately. Go and get a snack. Don't do anything taxing if you're hungry. It just feels a little bit like obvious, like duh. Anyway, 3, you're burnt out and totally exhausted. I don't know, I often have conversations where someone will be like, you know, how are you or whatever, and I'll be like, oh, I feel quite, I don't know, like I'm doing too much and I feel a bit, and then suddenly they're saying it as well, and then you're like doing this thing where you're kind of like having a who's done the most in the day yeah. off. And I hate that. Neither of you should be there. You should be at home having a relax. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't identify when we are burnt out until we are so burnt out that it's stupid. And then we become sick. And then we move to point one.
Exactly.
You have to catch it when it's at point 3. You're exhausted. You are allowed to, on a Friday night after work, to say to a friend, I'm so sorry, I'm exhausted, I can't come to the party. Because otherwise, what will happen is you will either go to the party, be just rubbish socially, feel crap, everyone will be like, are
and
you okay?
And just be there so that you can leave?
Yeah, no
be there
one
so
wants
you can
that.
Tick it off and be
you're
like,
you're not going to bring anything to the party. Or type two person is that you go there, you're knackered. So in order to unknacker yourself, make yourself an incredibly strong espresso martini. You're a wizard cocktail making in this analogy. Stay till 3 a.m, wake up the next day, even worse. Now you're sick. Now we're referring to point one again. It's okay to prioritize yourself when you are exhausted. We are constantly supposed to be, you know, this narrative of, well, Margaret Thatcher slept for 3 hours a night. Everyone seems to get up at 5 a.m. when they're very successful.
Yes.
And they are up late in the office. I'm sorry, it's bullshit. Of course.
She also invaded the Falklands.
Yes. Everyone else who's asleep, they're very tired. They're making stupid decisions.
Yeah.
I think Elon Musk said that he doesn't sleep. I mean, he's going off the rails. So
Everyone's crackers.
Go
right. to sleep.
I'll whiz through the next. You're under pressure at work. This is actually quite a good one. When you have a lot on, I found when I've had a lot on, I've had to prioritise my work over a boyfriend or a friend being like, oh, we're going to go and see Creed. And you're like, oh, yeah, I do want to see Michael B. Jordan. Oh, yeah, I do. But can't. And then I end up doing the thing and then having like a full meltdown like midnight being like, I can't do it before tomorrow or whatever. So I think you have to be very strong. You have to explain in a lovely way to your loved ones and friends, I'm so sorry, I have a deadline and I can't. The onus is on you to do that and that is hard. But I think it's more helpful when you have accepted that that is an acceptable reason to prioritise yourself. And it's not you being like bad at time management or you being, no, you've got too much on. You're allowed to prioritise yourself then. Ourselves allowing ourselves. What? We're coming to the end. Number five. This is interesting. You feel like you're being taken advantage of. We've all encountered people who don't return favours or expect more than their fair share of our time. If you have a friendship where saying yes is just making you feel worse, if you feel like you're being slightly exploited, you feel like whenever I go there, I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting. I'm getting none of that back. Prioritise yourself. Don't go. Maybe get rid of that person. Listen to our episode, I think we did when we were with the Debrief podcast, maybe, how to cut out toxic people in your life. It's quite a good one. And then number six, final one, you're allowed to prioritize yourself when you've made a commitment to yourself. So if you've made a promise to yourself that today you've booked a class at the gym, you're going to have a quiet night in because you need it and you know that you need it. It doesn't matter why you need it. It could be any of the reasons above or none of them. If someone is asking something of you or a work thing, think of the consequences. If it's okay for you to say no, say no, because you've made a commitment to yourself and that helps you in the long run trust yourself and respect yourself. Because if you're giving all of yourself away to everyone else, how can you respect yourself?
Yes.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. There's two people in here.
I enjoyed that.
Myself.
I enjoyed that TED Talk enormously.
Thank you. I just wanted to roast through it, which is a new word I'm trying.
Great roast.
Thank you.
I have looked up the brownie guide promised.
Oh my God, what is it?
And you're quite right. They have changed it since we were little.
Amazing. What is it?
Which is so that it's now just to serve the Queen and my community, to help other people and to keep the brownie guide law.
Not to always put others
before myself.
Where it
was used to be to put others before myself.
Yeah,
and now it's just to help others, which I think is...
That's much more empowering as a woman.
Yeah, you're right. Not to bring gender in, but it is a very like... female thing of like to put others before myself.
Yes.
You know?
To serve your man.
There's this like one of those sort of naff fridge magnet tea towel things that says like a mother is someone who, seeing that there are four people and only three pieces of cake, announces that she never did care for cake, you know?
Oh my God.
And it's this
That's
real,
what
like,
we're teaching mothers.
And like, which is true. Like obviously all mothers are absolutely incredible and do a million things and always put other people in front of themselves. But it like... constantly selling this narrative of like, that's a mother.
That's what you have to.
It's like, mother fucking wants a cake.
Give mama some cake.
Mama's working the hardest here. Give mama some cake.
Yeah. She made the cake.
She made the goddamn cake. You know, it, and also those little, otherwise it just sits inside you, this like,
yes.
Oh, I actually haven't had any roles and no one's noticed. Like, you either make the narrative for yourself that you don't deserve them, or you make it like, well, no one ever looks at me or nothing. I just give myself to everybody. You know, it's this like, get out of it. Break out of there.
Break out. Prioritize yourself, babe. So, prioritize things in general.
Yes.
How do I do that?
Yes. So now that we have got ourselves in the number one position.
Oh my God, yeah.
Now let's work on our many, many smorgasbords of things that are weighing us down that we have not prioritized.
Tasks, as you would say.
Tasks, if you will.
Tasks, if you're me.
So this is, you know, if you feel like you're drowning at work, you've just got too many things on, plus you've got like family, home, you've got like, you're trying to tile the porch. Like,
oh,
you've got...
Wow, you've got a porch?
You've got a porch.
There's a lot going on.
Where's that come from? You've got a lot going on. My friend Louise, hello Louise, she wrote an article about this and I asked her to send it to me, but this was quite a while ago and I said it might not be on the podcast for ages, and she said I'll wait forever for a sweet taste of the podcast.
Oh, it is like, a sweet taste.
So this is for Louise, who wrote this fantastic article about trying to prioritise. Mm. And said when you've got too many things going on, it's like having a garden and your garden is completely overgrown and you've got all your things in the wrong place and everything that's in there, all your plants are your different jobs and tasks and things that you need to do, and they're all competing for space and light and attention. And so every time you look at the garden, you're just like, oh God, oh, this. And it doesn't feel nice to go in it and like start pruning or weeding or loving it or gardening. It feels completely overwhelming and stressful.
So you just don't want to do it.
So you just don't want to do it. And you're just like, every time you look at the garden, you're like, forget it.
I understand.
I can't go and look. So what you want to do is totally like reassess your garden. Mm. And you need to take a moment and sit down. And if your instinct is like, I haven't got any time to sit down. Like, yes, you do. Make some time. Sit down. Get yourself a piece of paper. A3 if it helps.
I find a big piece of paper way more effective.
Suddenly, now we're cooking
now
with
we're
gas.
Talking. Yeah.
Get your big piece of paper. Get your coloured pens if you need.
Sharpies.
Get some gel pens.
Ooh, scented.
Ooh, get a scented gel pen. A banana gel pen.
Black piece of paper. Stick with me on this. Creamy gel pen.
Hello. Now we're... Yeah, yeah. And there you see the classic our mindset. Suddenly we're in the shop buying the right sort of paper and
yes,
pens.
Yes, that's silly. We shouldn't do
And
that.
While we were there, we started making sock puppets.
Right.
So you just sit down with any piece of paper that you can find. Anything that's to hand. Yeah. You don't really need this thing.
No.
Get your piece of paper on what you're going to write down absolutely everything that you need to do.
Okay.
And they can be everything. So even if it's your New Year's resolutions, things you're just working on generally, they can be immediate tasks that need to get done, things that need to go to the bank. But then they're also like bigger tasks, things for work, like massive big life stuff, trying to get fitter, get healthier, you know, write the book.
Buy
like
a dog.
Buy a dog. Any of these things. Just put absolutely everything down. If you're like, that's not really one. It is one if it's in your head. Mm. And it's like, what am I doing first? And then you divide up your garden into put them
begonias.
In like, put begonias. So put all the begonias and the other evergreens together. So right. Things that are to do with like health, put them in one thing, things that are with work, things that are like, you know, divide them up.
Can you divide them also like short term, long term? Or are we just doing subjects?
No, you can buy whatever category feels right for you.
Or just stress about the categories, but I'm sure.
Okay,
I'll
so
be able
again,
to keep
if that in which case, I will say for you, you go by category. Of thing. Sorry.
Oh, right, thing. So not...
Thematic rather than time.
Thematic.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Thematic rather than yes. Time.
Yes. Okay. Okay, great. Yes,
so,
I'm on
passion Sorry. Projects. Mm. Work things.
Self things.
Self things. The house. Big ideas for the future.
Oh, nice.
Yeah? Put them all in your groups, in your categories. Okay. And then you can see like, oh, if you've got nothing in house but 20 things in big ideas for the future.
You're prioritizing wrong.
Like, okay. Mm. You know, so see what they are when they're all in their compartments together. Then if things are like short and long term, if you want, highlight the ones that are short term and highlight the ones that are long term. You feeling better now?
I'm already very excited.
Right? So now we're like, okay, now we feel calm. Mm. Really great. Now when you've got that to look at visually, it's clear to identify what your big three are. Mm. These are your big plants to stick right in the front.
Because they're the ones that are the big ones for long term?
Yep. They can be whatever. Now, at this point, now that you're looking at it, now it's a bit sort of spark joy-esque.
Yeah.
Now we're just like, this is what needs to get done. Okay. Just look at it and be like, just listen to the energy and be like, this is what we need.
Okay.
And then from there, you can like start building your list in a different sort of way and start like understanding like, okay, this is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
And then if you want to then go through your big, if you want to then be like, okay, I'm going to allow one big idea to come out of my massive big idea pot.
Mm.
What is the most achievable or the most exciting or what is the thing I really care about?
So you don't have to take all of the big ideas
no.
in one. You just take like whichever one feels the most achievable now.
If you like, it's like, here's all your wine in the wine cellar okay. and you're only bringing a few bottles to the table.
Absolutely.
Or whatever.
You're speaking my language. As
yeah,
a woman with a vast wine cellar.
As a woman with a strong wine cellar.
I'm drinks cupboard. Gonna make a drinks cupboard. That's
right?
Not something I should prioritise
But
now.
Put it on your list because it's just popped up, so put it straight on there.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
Get it in that big ideas thing. And if you want to hold on to that A3 piece of paper in its groups, remember, otherwise, if you just write everything down, that looks totally overwhelming. You just think, I've got too many things on. So make sure you keep your colour groups.
Yeah, I think I did this once where like I was having in the swamp between new university and first job.
Yes.
And it was the turn of the year.
Of course.
I was like, wait, just saying, I wasn't really going anywhere. I'd stopped trying to do stuff that I just didn't know what I was doing. And I did like a big A3 piece of paper because I just sort of found one. Found it fun to do it in a sort of brain... thought shower way. Then you've got your big arms for your categories.
Yep.
Can we call them arms? And then all the little ones can come off that. So I suppose, yeah, like a mind map sort of
situation. Yeah, perfect.
Because then whenever I was feeling sad and a bit like lost, I would look at that and go, get back on track. Here are the things that you need to refocus yourself. Yeah.
And so helpful. Keep that somewhere.
You can cross them off when you've done it.
Perfect. So keep best. That under the bed somewhere, or like wherever you need it to be. Bring up or on the wall or whatever is visually helpful for you. And then you've got your second, you've got your big smorgasbord. Then you've got your small list that will keep changing every week or every day. Mm. And that's the thing where you're like, what bottles are we bringing up today?
Great.
And put them on the list.
And that can either be on your, I guess, wherever you keep your like appointments diary, if it's on Google Calendar or whatever, you can put it in your phone notes.
From here on out, you can do whatever visually is the best thing for you.
If you use post-it notes, can you please tweet us as to how you've used them? Because I don't understand how people use post-it notes and why they use them.
What?
I've never confidently used a post-it note.
Oh my goodness. Write your thing on it that you need to do.
Yeah.
Stick them on the wall.
Yeah, but that just like falls off the wall.
No, it stays on the wall.
Oh God, okay.
A good post-it note stays on the wall.
Okay.
And then it, when
I'll
you take
sort that out,
and then take it off the wall when you're done it.
I guess so. That is a good way of doing it. Okay, fine.
What were you using them to do?
I've never used them. I've got a block, and I'm always like, whenever someone at uni had like a book and they had loads of post-it notes in it,
I've no idea what those people are doing.
I don't know what they're doing. So I think I've been quite.
I've seen people do that. I'm like,
what is going on? Also, at work, there'd be people with loads of post-it notes all around their desk stuff, and it wasn't just like, have a nice day.
It was like, which is what I know what yours are.
Yes.
Just little drawings you've done
to yourself. There's a picture of a shark that someone in the office did a picture of a shark and said, have a nice day, and put it on my keyboard thing.
Oh,
and
so
I was
nice.
Like, what's that? And I was like, yeah, he does that occasionally. Maybe like a cleaner or something. But
that's
anyway,
so nice.
That's all I had on mine. I am quite blindsided by the simplicity of put a thing to do on your post-it note, put it up and then take it down when you've done it, because I thought it was way more complicated than that.
Great. Okay, so Stevie, what you're going to do, you're going to make your smorgasbord on your A3 piece of paper.
Black
with gel pens, eat everything in its colour thing, highlighted between short term and long term.
That'll be difficult on the black paper, but I'll figure it out.
You'll work it out.
I will.
I believe in you.
Thank you.
Then you're going to get your post-it notes.
I will.
And you're just going to stick three things up on the wall now.
Oh, God.
This is the bringing things out of the cellar, putting them on thing, and then we're going to work through them.
That's the wine bottles out of my cellar. And then I can cross them off on my big smorgasbord when I've taken the post-it note down. So that's a double satisfaction.
Double satisfaction.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much. Now, teach me more.
Teach you more. Okay, so this is just like day-to-day stuff. We're moments from the end.
Great.
Because I've prioritised and I've worked through this schedule.
Amazing, thank you.
So this is just day-to-day stuff that you're just getting through the day, doing your hot business. Because it's 2019, it's January, we're getting shit done.
Yes.
Okay? There is a book famously called Eat That Frog.
I'm into it already.
Got an exclamation mark. As many books at the time did.
Yeah, it's a shame now. It's dated, isn't it?
It does. It dates it. It does. An exclamation mark does date the work. By self-help guru Brian Tracy, and it's from a Mark Twain quote that is, eat a live frog first thing in the morning and nothing worse will happen to you for the rest of the day.
That's very funny.
So the basic rule of eat that frog is, do you want to guess?
Do the worst thing on your list the first thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love that as a thing, because there's so many on your list. There's always one where you're like, cool,
yeah,
get to that. And then I've run out of time.
Yeah, and what do you do instead? You're like, oh, that one looks fun and distracting, so I'll do that. I'll circle around the frog and I'll never get to it.
How good will you feel when you've eaten the frog?
So firstly, it's done, you feel incredibly satisfied, and if you don't even do anything else the rest of the day on your list, you're still like, I smashed through that frog.
Yeah.
The next thing will necessarily get done, because every day you have to eat the frog. Works for some people, doesn't necessarily work, but like, if you've got a big to-do list, try it out.
Bash at it.
So two more crucial things, and then we're prioritising the end. That everything needs to be planned the night before.
Okay.
So when you wake up in the morning, there needs to be no like, oh, I've got so many things to do. Like, where shall I start? No.
You
wake up in the morning, you know exactly what's coming.
Great.
You've got your, whatever your daily routine looks like, if that's a, you know, your meditation, your exercising.
Well, you know me so well.
Your quick yoga and your run, whatever your day is, like, you know it. And it's been so proved over and over again by like CEOs that when they do those, like, I rise at 5:30, I run while I speak to the Japanese, this business call and I'm in the office by 7. It's always the, and you're like, how can you have that kind of day? Yesterday I rose at 4 a.m. and today I slept till 2. Like,
now you're talking my language.
Right? So you're like, but it's so statistically proved that like that way of living in this like, whatever, I'm so free, is also so not conducive to work
or mental health,
if we're absolutely honest. Whereas this clear, like, I rise, I do this, this is my routine, my body knows where it's at. And also it stops, to circle back, if we made this stew, when you're in a like really clear rigid routine, your body is like, this is when we eat, this is when we don't, and so it isn't like freaking out and getting
so
itself.
You've ruined my routine, basically.
You do not eat a stew every day at 5 p.m.
I absolutely do.
No, you don't.
5:03, I rise.
You
5:04,
you lie down when you're tired, and you eat when you're hungry. So
I don't think I've ever eaten a stew.
So exactly, you've never even had a stew. No. It's just popped into your mind. Oh, and starving. Now you're following it and your whole body's thinking about it. Whereas if you're in like, I'm in work mode now. Yeah. This is what I do at this time.
So that means we need to record the podcast at the same time every week, which we absolutely do not do.
No, but I feel fine about that.
Okay. I don't take my advice.
I'm not going to take my own advice
no.
on this.
Boo.
Get yourself into that routine. Take time for yourself. Do not be phones in bed, no matter how much you're like, quick, 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 that'll get things done.
Yeah.
When you open your emails in the morning, you're immediately distracted by people wanting other things from you.
Yeah.
And so that's not part of your schedule. All that's doing is adding other things to your list. Okay. So you get up, you eat the frog, and then it's like, and then you sit down to be like, and now this is my half hour.
Now I let the emails
in. And now I let the emails in. Okay. But if they come first thing in the morning, that's all you've done
I
is just
do that.
You've done
in me yeah.
because it feels like you're doing the, I run on the treadmill and I talk to the Japanese. Oh, like, yeah. on the phone, everyone. You know, yeah. that's just like a classic. Because Japan is awake at that time, so I'm doing business. You yes. know, it just always comes up in those
yeah,
morning
I think people
routines.
Should, we do say that a lot, and we should make it clear that we're not.
It's because they're on the right
I know.
Time frame. That's where all the business is.
I know that's where the business is. The
that's where we do the most
like,
of our business.
What are you talking about? Why are you constantly trying to talk to Japanese people? But yeah, I mean, that's what business people do, as we yeah. all know. Me and Tessa, having never worked in business, but.
Very clear understanding of what needs to be done.
Very clear. And very it is always clear. To do with Japan.
Yeah. So because you're in bed with your phone, it feels like I'm cracking through
yes.
this. Like I'm doing hot business. You're not.
No.
You're doing mousse with a muffin. You're distracting yourself.
God.
You're going all off
so
course.
True.
You've opened an email. You've seen like two new, you know, Google offers. And suddenly we're in a 45-minute rabbit hole.
Also, you're not yourself there.
Absolutely
so I think
not.
I'm going to start only looking at my emails after breakfast.
Yes. And you say, and now it is the email time. And you do it. And possibly
you
an
say
alarm.
Out loud.
Out loud. And an alarm goes off after half an hour. And that's it. That's the end.
Great.
Because you prioritize that time for emails.
I don't know if I'm going to rise at 5:30 a.m. and speak
no,
to Japanese.
No, you don't have to.
But I'm certainly going to like write my things to do this the night before, not when I'm in bed getting up being like, oh no, and I've already read 7 emails.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Exactly. Then you literally get out of bed in the morning already behind schedule.
Oh my God.
And you've done that to yourself. Like, you didn't need to.
I have no one else to blame.
No one else to blame. But you, who you should be prioritising.
Thank you.
Fix your mask. And when you leave the office in the evening, if you're someone with a regular or any place of work where you can, if you have access to your post-it notes, when you leave the office, you pack everything down because it's so easy to be like, or probably you're running to something in the evening or you're late or you're trying to, you're desperate to get away from work or whatever. So the end, Stevie keeps gesturing to how much she wants a bloody stew. Yeah, so as we...
I've got a lot on.
She literally has to leave. As you're leaving, you pack down your desk and you write your three things that you need to do tomorrow on a post-it note and you stick it on your computer.
Oh, another great post-it note you use.
So 1, 2, 3, those are my three activities for tomorrow.
So when you get in, you're like, here are my things.
Here are my things.
What do I do today? What's my thing? And then, because you might forget, because you're in the zone.
You're in the zone. And so you're just trying to like being your own assistant. You know, there is a reason that like the president is walking along and they're saying like, you've got this, and at 11 o'clock you're on this. You know, it's like a clear, no one says like, what do you want to do today, Mr. President? And he's like, what? Like somebody like lays that shit out. So just treat yourself like the president that you are. And
oh
deserve
God.
To be.
Babes, you are all presidents in my eyes. Maybe prioritise tweeting us. No, you don't have to at all.
Yes, you do.
Prioritise tweeting us. Tweet us at Nobody Panic Pod. I'm at Stevie M. The S is a 5.
I'm at Tessa Coates.
And if you have any fun ideas for email, if you have any fun ideas for emails, then email them to us. And if you have any fun ideas for future episodes, email them to us. Nobody Panic Podcast at gmail.com. Like, subscribe, send a little tweet out for your main men here, and have a lovely week. And I'm desperate to eat the stew now. Okay.
Things got hangry in here.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.